Right now, I would like to welcome Camille Adair and Sylvia Talavera. Sylvia is a hospice nurse and founder of the nonprofit organization Living Bridges. And Camille Adair is a hospice nurse and filmmaker whose film Solace, Wisdom of the Dying, will be presented during a weekend event called Words of Wisdom, exploring end-of-life care right here in Santa Fe on the 9th and 10th of February. Welcome, ladies, to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte.
Thank you.
So I went the other night to a rough cut of this very wonderful film, and it was so interesting to me the way it presented. I mean, it sounds morbid, a film about people who are dying of cancer and perhaps other illnesses as well. But it is so full of wisdom and things that probably a lot of us don't usually think about, which is that, as one of the people in the movie put it, the transition between being in good health and death. There's this very potentially rich moment in between.
I see that time actually as being one of the greatest opportunities that we have in our life to really experience living in its fullest. And that was a part of the inspiration for the film. I think that people who are dying have a great deal to teach people who are living.
And yet there's a lot of fear associated with that time of one's life.
There's a lot of fear, and I think that, you know, as Larry Dossey, who's one of the people interviewed in the film, says, you know, when we just associate with the physical body, you know, part of what we fear is annihilation. And for me, I had a really deep personal transformation around that fear after being with many people who were dying and seeing the spiritual changes that they were going through. Made me have a knowing sort of beyond even my own sort of, you know, spiritual truths and beliefs at that time, much more real knowing about the fact that I believe consciousness survives the death of the physical body. It's really been proven by science, and I think that we're kind of on the brink of a paradigm shift about what is it to be a human being? Who are we really? Where are our limits? Are there any limits? And what is this experience of having a body? And I think that when we're with dying people, I think we have the opportunity to experience that in a way that's very unique.
So part of, I mean, those things all being true, not everybody who is dying accesses that wisdom in themselves.
Well, I do think that most people, what I have seen, though, is that because death really is a natural process, there are things that take care of themselves in the dying process. That's part of what we who are not at that point, we fear, because we're just not where they are. But these people who are dying start having experiences, and I've seen people who, you know, approach the dying process, they get that terminal illness, and they're absolutely terrified. And somewhere in between getting that terminal prognosis and dying, people generally come to a fairly peaceful place. There really is a lot of magic that sort of just naturally happens for people. Their perceptions change, and in the movie, there are a couple people who talk about those changes that are happening in perception, where they're sort of losing, as Chris in the movie says, losing that connection with what she calls the third dimension, and those things stop being as important. And that's just part of that natural process.
Do you think that's more likely to happen when somebody's in hospice care versus if they're in the hospital?
That's a really good question. I think there are things that happen for dying people that happen no matter where they're at. I do think, however, that the process, from what I've seen, when it's witnessed by someone who understands the dying process and who's comfortable with the dying process and who can reflect back both to the person who's dying and to the caregivers around them that this is all really normal, this is actually good, this is appropriate, this is supposed to be happening, it really gives people permission to continue to move through that. People who are dying are moving through that no matter what. We can't stop that process, but when they're surrounded by people who are focused on medical intervention and people who don't understand that, it's, I think, must be a different experience.
There's a striking moment in the film where one of the participants who's dying, and I think has died since the film was made, says, "It's easier for me, the dying person, than it is for my husband and family because they're on death watch."
That's
right. I'm just living.
Yeah, she says, "I'm just in my life," but they're on a death watch. And she's absolutely right. And part of what she's speaking to is that until you take your last breath, you are in your life. And at the same time, things are changing for you and things are different for you that facilitate being okay with the process. And the other people around you aren't in that same place. And so they're not only are they caregiving, but they're also dealing with their own grieving. And so there are really sort of two things happening all at the same time. You're taking care of someone that you love and you're feeling really committed to that process, and you're dealing with saying goodbye and grieving all at the same time. And that's a really difficult role.
Mm-hmm. I think the grieving is something there's just no getting around. And I wondered how that affects both of each one of you as caregivers who, like it or not, are probably going to become attached to at least some of your patients.
I, since I've been doing hospice and witnessed so many deaths, there comes a point where I even break down because of the collective loss of all the patients that have gone.
It's funny because in this film, the loss is great, but also there's so much in the film about consciousness surviving and it being a transition. Does that help?
It helps me tremendously. I actually, in the movie, I talk about going into a period of darkness, and I don't elaborate on that in my narration. But one of the things that really happened for me was really after sort of doing this like grieving over and over and over again, I had an experience in a small single wide trailer one night. There were holes in the floor and chihuahuas everywhere, and I'd gone in the middle of the night to pronounce this death. And there were people around this dying, the dead body, and there were people grieving. And I had this moment where all I could see was the beauty. And there was something in me that shifted that night.
And it stayed and with that shift
it's,
stayed
that
with you.
That shift stayed with me. And since then, it's like Kathy in the film says, grief and joy are basically the same coin. They're different sides of the same coin. And so what happens for me now is that I think I grieve even more deeply, but that grief is like a sweet grief because it's mixed with joy and love and compassion and just a deep knowing that this is like a birth. Somebody has just passed through this incredible transition.
We're talking to Camille Adair and Sylvia Talavera, and the conference coming up is called Words of Wisdom, Exploring End-of-Life Care. Now, is this a conference for caregivers primarily, or what?
No, it's a conference for the community, both the professional and lay community. It is education for end-of-life care and also providing the community with resources. One of the inspirations, or the inspirations for this conference was working at the bedside and witnessing, you know, people going through the dying process and the actual death. One of the things that I recognized was the need for education around the dying process as a sacred event and death as a natural passage, and how important it was to inform the family, as Camille said, that these are natural things that are occurring. And
the families often don't realize that?
They often are fearful. They're not sure what is happening, and there's a lot of education that happens at the bedside about the physiological dying process as well as the soulful process around that. And it, you know, it's about through education, it opens up a clearing for people to be more comfortable around the dying process and death as a natural passage, and they become a little bit more willing to take part in the care of the patient and not be so fearful around that. And in fact, one of the things before I was a hospice nurse, I had a great fear around my own mortality and impermanence. When I started my career as a hospice nurse, one of the first things that these patients taught me was how to live fully in the present moment. And as a result of that, I became less fearful of my own mortality. They were great teachers to me, and they had deep, deep wisdom.
There's something in the film that was very interesting, which was the commentary by Larry Dossey about being a doctor in Vietnam and being in these tremendous life-threatening situations in which something happened. Namely, he found that there's a connection between all consciousnesses. When you're in a situation of mortal danger, when you're saving another person, you're not just saving them, you're saving yourself, because we are so deeply connected. Do you have this experience working with the dying?
I personally do. I have it with the dying. I have it when I work occasionally at the hospital as a case manager. I have it there. But I think that, you know, what he's speaking to is something that we can even experience on a more, what may seem like a more superficial level, when you are thinking of someone and the phone rings and you pick it up and it's them. I do think that our consciousness is connected, and we don't, there aren't these definite boundaries where, you know, Camille and Sylvia are individuals and Mary Charlotte's an individual. We're all sitting at this table, and there's something probably in this conversation that's very connected. But I do think that at times that are as challenging as and as significant as war or having someone die, I definitely think there is a deep connection and union that happens that's really powerful.
You said a moment ago that there is scientific evidence that consciousness survives the human body. What did you mean by that?
Well, there have been a lot of randomized controlled studies about distant healing. Larry Dossey has, in his books, really sort of documented a lot of those studies about the power and healing potential of prayer. They've done many studies about healing at great distances, which tells us that if you're thinking of someone and you're praying and you have a focused intention for healing, that they have proven that actually works, which means consciousness is not confined to our body.
So why are the last moments of life so important? I mean, this is something you have in many religious traditions, perhaps all religious traditions, where you do certain rites of passage, extreme unction, or whatever. Why is that so important?
Well, for me personally, I can only speak for what it's like for me. And number one, I think there's like a concentration of life that happens either at the moment of birth when a new life comes in, or at the moment of death when someone moves out, where on some level we experience something that is much greater, that's really difficult to put into words. But if you've been at a birth and you've been at a death, there is a quality about those moments that is really precious, and I think something that tells us that there is a bigger reality. It really is an expansive and transformational time, and it's hard for me to put into words, but if I were to use mainstream lingo and I were to, you know, put it in those terms, I probably would say something like, those are the moments when I have felt the presence of God or divine presence most closely.
Well, another interesting part of the film is that a lot of people have the experience when they're dying that the veil between the two worlds gets very thin.
It's very thin. And you can sort of experience that on your own, but you can also experience it just being with the dying person. I mean, oftentimes people right before they die, you know, will sort of like come to present moment, and they will say things. And even hours and days before people die, and sometimes weeks, people will have experiences of visioning loved ones who have passed away. That's oftentimes very clear. In fact, according to the NHPCO, the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization, I think the statistic is like 98% of all people who die have experiences of visioning. And when you're around
that... When you say visioning, what do you mean?
I mean, they actually see people and have conversations with people who have passed away. When you're around that every single day and you do hospice work and that becomes part of your daily reality, there's something that... There's a deep shift that can happen about how we see...
And you know it's not just hallucination.
It's clearly not hallucination.
Yeah. Very interesting. We're talking to Camille Adair and Sylvia Talavera, and the conference that's coming up is called Wisdom of the Dying. And this film, Solace, is going to be screened. If you don't go to the conference, can people still go to the movie?
Absolutely. It's open to the public, and the movie will be Saturday night at 7 p.m.
At the Scottish Rite Temple?
At the Scottish Rite Temple.
So what motivated you to make this film? You've been working on it for 4 years.
Well, soon after I started hospice 5 years ago, I was out in what we call out in the field, making my home visits. And one visit after another, I would literally go into a home, and all of a sudden, you're meeting people. It doesn't matter. They don't want to talk about what they did for a living. All of the things that we spend time talking about when we get to know someone is just... of almost no consequence. You walk in and all of a sudden you're talking to people about the most important, most intimate parts of their lives.
Which are, if not what they did for a living, then what?
About their family, about what they want to do with the time that they have remaining, about what it means for them to have closure, about having healings with people, about taking care of business, about grieving. People who are dying also grieve. They're leaving people that they love, and it's really being it's having an invitation into like an incredible sacred time. And I was sort of so hooked on the quality of these moments that I just thought, you know what, this is unbelievable, and somehow this has got to get out there, because we keep death in the closet and it's so taboo, and yet it's one of the most sacred, most beautiful times of life. And so I felt really compelled. I actually started having this visual of having a camera on my shoulder. I never did any of the filming. My wonderful partner, Grant Taylor, who's a great videographer, is the one who was there every step of the way doing that. But I, you know, would have conversations with friends and just saying, you know, I feel like this needs to be public.
And this is going to be an opportunity, both the film and the conference, to begin a candid dialogue around death, dying, and grief.
So do you plan, I mean, is that part of the deal, is when people see the film, then there's opportunity for discussion?
Well, I think that this is, you know, one of the things about the conference that's really kind of a unique opportunity. Number one, it's not just for healthcare professionals. Now, there will be many healthcare professionals there. It's also for lay people, everyday people who want to explore more deeply impermanence, living fully. You know, it's not just about dying. Dying does take us back to living. But it's also an opportunity to sort of, you know, be involved in this intimate Q&A with myself and Grant and other people who were in the film. Many of the people who were interviewed in the film will actually be there at the conference as presenters. And Sylvia's just done a fabulous job of really offering me personally a great deal of support, and starting Living Bridges is a real gift for this community.
Tell us more about Living Bridges.
Living Bridges was inspired by my work as a hospice nurse and the need for, again, education and support through life transitions, end of care work, and care for the caregivers. Again, an open dialogue around death, dying, and grief, and also about conscious living. And conscious living goes right along with conscious dying, and conscious dying goes right with conscious living. You can't do one without the other. What Living Bridges will be doing throughout the year is offering programs and workshops and retreats on the different aspects of living, dying, grief, loss, and providing resources to the community that, you know, people can choose, look at options, hospice and palliative care, complementary therapies, grief and loss, retreats on life transitions, rites of passage. So we'll be offering that throughout the year, and perhaps looking at another conference next year, and also promoting Solace, Wisdom of the Dying, as a teaching tool for the community.
I think one of the things that comes out of it is just simply the importance of telling one's story and hearing other people's stories.
It's so important, and you know, one of the favorite parts, my personal favorite parts of the film is, you know, some of Stephen Levine's personal stories. You know, he does a lot of his teaching in a very personal and poignant way, and he talks about his first experience with grief and about how it teaches us about what it means to be alive and to love really deeply, you know, and it's very true. These personal stories are so important, and I feel like if we all had more of an opportunity to be around people who are at the end of their lives, to be around elderly people who naturally are going through this process of life review where they really need to tell their stories. It's therapeutic for them. It's necessary for them. And there's this missing link in our culture that we are not there, the younger generations, to receive these gifts. And so
That's another thing that one really thinks of while watching this movie. I mean, the generational split. There's a lot of people who die alone, abandoned, even by their families, if they have families or without families, and there's a lot to learn, even though I would think it's also very scary for young people to be involved with the dying process. It would be very rich for them as well.
I think it is very rich, and I actually think that young people, we don't give them enough credit. I would sort of say that, you know, we become a little more brittle and rigid around midlife. I can only speak from personal experience. But I think having my two daughters, Haley and Claire, who are 16 and 19, they have been incredible teachers for me as well about this new generation of people who they don't experience living inside the box the way my generation has. And there's an openness there that I think is a real gift. And I think that, somebody at the Rough Cut screening said, you've got to get this movie into public schools. And I had never thought about that before. And I think she's right.
Well, the film is called Solace, Wisdom of the Dying. And it will be presented during a weekend called Words of Wisdom, Exploring End-of-Life Care, which is at the Scottish Rite Temple in Santa Fe, New Mexico, on Saturday and Sunday, February 9th and 10th. And the screening of the film will be Saturday, February 9th at 7 o'clock. Camille Adair and Sylvia Talavera, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
Thank you.